Navigating through the energies of New Earth is not an easy process and can become extremely overwhelming at times. As we all ascend into higher frequencies, we're all being guided to embrace our own unique divine pathway, a pathway created in the vibration of love. Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium Carrie Turcotte, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exist within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within and understand the message being shared even greater. When you live in the frequency of love, there is no competition, so Carrie will be joined regularly by fellow soul family members who will bring forth wisdom and knowledge she knows should be shared on a global level. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners to see what message Spirit wants to share with all those listening in for the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, come and join us now on Vibe Nation Radio, here on the IOM Radio Network.
Okay, great. And we are doing Indian Summer. I'm Chris Anderson, One Feather, and I've taken over Vibe Nation for the summer, so in line with being Native American, we thought we would call it Indian Summer. And today I have a guest who is actually from out in an area where there are a lot of Indians, Native American people. The Utes are out there. My friend Devin, and he is from Utah. So how are things going today out there in the western part of the country, Devin?
Well, it's going pretty good. It's nice and hot out here. The sun, I just came and sat in the car, and I can see the mountains, just beautiful, and the clouds are just gorgeous, enjoying life. I just got off another recording with a dear friend of mine, and it's just been an enjoyable life. How are you doing today?
Really good. We've got kind of balmy weather here in the Midwest around Lake Michigan, and things are advancing beautifully. We had a big full moon a week ago in the sign of Capricorn, and now we're moving toward a new moon in the sign of Leo. So things are starting to rally. Things are going to start picking up here, and we're going to see some forward motion. But theme that I had come up with for today was the idea of, what if God was one of us? So how about that, Devin? What are your thoughts about the idea of, what if God was one of us, hanging out here just like a slob, like all of us?
Well, there's so many directions I could go with that, but I am all on board. And it's enjoyable to think about, you know, that kind of a question is only from the perspective of someone that doesn't know what God is, because it's you know, there's no question about it. You know, not just God being one of us, but God being all of us, being everything, being all existence. And, you know, even though I see illusionary perspectives of the illusionary world, you know, the reality of all existence remains to be that one essence of the eternal vastness of God. So, you know, it's, as far as the question, you know, it's a fun and it's a good song, but it's undeniably answered.
Right. And within that, though, there's that idea of pantheism that creeps into the equation, you know, where a lot of people have this belief that God is a tree or God is a physical object. And what are your thoughts about that? How physical do you think God gets? Is there a physical side to God?
So as far as through my death experience, I came into this knowledge of the dimensions and 10 dimensions of reality. And in one of those dimensions, there is a lot of physicality, and that's the third dimensional existence we usually experience and see. And it's a perspective and really a dream and an illusionary existence of that same one first I mentioned, which would be experienced as God and expressed as God and understood that way. It is not the totality or the reality of what God is, but to say God is a tree, you're not actually then looking at a tree anymore. You're not actually seeing a tree. You might physically be thinking you're seeing a tree, but you're seeing illusions, you're feeling an illusion, an illusionary idea on top of, you know, threefold from that actual experience of what actually is there as God. So, but to say God isn't there is to also deny the actual reality of what God is, much like to say pain, for an example, that pain doesn't really exist, you're also saying that the love that it actually is doesn't exist. So like with God, it's the misunderstanding that doesn't exist. So the thinking that we're talking about physical things at all is what doesn't exist. Like when you say the tree is God, it's not the tree is God. You know, God is God. God is always there. God is the only thing that exists. But the dimensional focus, the obsession with physicality, is what doesn't exist, is what's not there.
Right, and that's really a beautiful explanation for that whole idea of addressing the idea of God becoming embodied or enmeshed in a material experience, because God is pervasive. There is no place in the universe where God is not, but God transcends the whole idea of the material experience. So you were mentioning your death experience. Why don't you give us a rundown as to what happened? How did you croak, and how did you come back?
Well, it was, I call it my death experience, but I would say more directly understood as, you know, my person death, my ego death of the occurrence. But it did, it was directly a, you know, like a 2 minute scenario of having a seizure as in the physical representation of what was occurring. But I was also on a 5-year journey at the time, and I was attempting to transcend the world. I was attempting to forgive everything. And I was with a partner that just brought up everything that could possibly be the most annoying things, the most angry things, and just really pissing me off and stuff. And I was in a position of meditation, and she did something that upset me, and I forgave it. I like let it go and found peace in it. And all of a sudden, it just started happening. I remember my eyes rolled up in my head, and I started shaking, and I was able to crawl or fall onto the bed over there, and as if I was cold. And my life started flashing before my eyes, and I was aware of several things at once. So there was a lot of different, as far as using the word, dimensions that were occurring. And that experience of seeing and still communicating with her, I was saying things like, it's okay, I'm doing fine, as well as my life just flashing before my eyes of seeing every last detail of my past and coming to the recollection of even being pulled out of the womb, cesarean, and being cold, and even coming into the womb and being at the point of my life coming into the body, and not necessarily conception, but remembering everything in that point, and as well as the expanse and the light and the whole experience previous to this physical embodiment, and that having even entering into a council in heaven and the communion and everything. And the entire time of this whole experience, I was having just this ecstatic joy of all of it, just complete, like one essence of joy, as if I was laughing uncontrollably. And throughout that, as far as comparing it to the happiest day of my life, I would literally say the sensation I was feeling, being 100% of that, was the happiest day of my life. Wasn't even close to 1 or 2% of that amount of joy. And so there's a lot of details that get into when I got into that Council of Heaven experience. That it, you know, that it was without form, it was without shape, without sound, that there was a type of a conversation that occurred and happened, that it was the essence in which I can describe it, it was, if you wanted to get out, you have the opportunity to get out of this world right now, to come along with us to the transcendent world, And but you would have to remember every last little bit of why you came here, and you would have to come to the same conclusion. So then my future, even as my past, all flashed before my eyes in great detail, as if I was living it very quickly and experiencing the emotions of it and everything, and I was seeing my family and my friends and all that I was able to achieve in this physical perspective world, and I saw my kids and my children and all this stuff, and immediately I chose to live that. I chose, out of that same desire that I was born into this life, I chose to live it again and come back instead of transcending. And so when I made that decision, it was impressed at the moment that in order to come back, you have to accept the grievance or resentment again. And so I thought of two resentments that I one, wouldn't have that family I saw and feel that love and excitement I saw and felt. And I would be misconveyed, and my message would be taught like suicide, and that I wouldn't have really achieved in this world. So I instantaneously snapped back into my body and came as clear as day, and I started writing a letter of to my family to make sure that people would know if I did leave in the next few days, it wasn't suicide and all this stuff. But it was, the key thing there was that I wanted, in order to come back, I had to have a grievance or a resentment to even perceive this world.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news. Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we are coming back out of that commercial break. Sorry, Devin, I forgot to give you a heads up about that. Every 15 minutes, we take a momentary break, and Om Times gives us a kind of a plethora of different opportunities that are being presented to us. So anyway, you said that in order to come back here, you had to have a grievance. What do you mean by a grievance?
Well, just like in the examples of having a commercial break, no, I'm just kidding, the whole idea that I wasn't able to have the family that I currently have and am building right now, just that, I put an aspect of myself being all the vastness of everything, really, and made it separate from myself. In other words, something to achieve. And I then had somewhere to grow. And that's only something that's perceived within physical realms like the third dimensional reality that we have. It's through this that there's this idea of separation that we can then expand into and grow into, things that we can become that we are not already. But in the reality of it, you know, we're not that. So we have to believe that we are. You know, we have vastness of everything, can do anything we want, absolutely anything. And this is what we have been choosing to do.
So kind of in a nutshell, whatever is going on in an individual's life is something that they have chosen, rather than something that they are forced to experience or that some exterior component is punishing them over. So you're basically giving us the idea, presenting the idea to us that everything that happens in this material realm, in this illusory existence we have, was something that we chose to experience. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely. That everything that we do is something that we are doing and we are choosing. I mean, being the all-powerful creator of the universe, as much as we accept that or know that, you know, with nothing's happening against us, nothing's being thrust down upon us, there's no big thumb of God on our heads, that we are literally that thumb as well as everything. You know, we're choosing to the circumstances that, whether in our tiny little lives or perspective of the entirety of the universe, to become and expand in some sort of fashion. And this is where we are currently perceiving.
Mm-hmm. So how do you get to that place where you're completely in an awareness of, you know, that higher state of being? I mean, do we have formats available to us? Do we have material available to us to help us attain that level of recognition that we're the ones who are the creators of our own universe, the creators of our own fate?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's now just hundreds and hundreds of people out there ready to help with the reaching the barriers and everything. I personally completely adore the works of A Course in Miracles and the fact that it brought me to understanding. I mean, I felt like I was made to understand that book in its fashion. And using the process of forgiveness, as I mentioned earlier, that everything that we do each day and everything that we feel something arising in us, it's an opportunity to come back to that authority position that knows it's created all of this, instead of being the position in which it's a victim of this. It's like it is a split between the first dimensional consciousness and the fourth dimensional consciousness, you know, which became came from all the creation, or which one created all creation. And it's definitely awareness, but it is expanding. There's, you know, a lot of coaches like myself and like you and who are helping each other, helping people every day to find out more information about how to get there and meditation. I personally have done many courses, many hours of meditation, especially on my journey of wanting to get there. But you and everyone is guided perfectly to achieve what they are meant here to achieve. And only you and that guidance and what that God is, it knows what that is. And so if you're given that motivation to succeed, or those eyes to hear or see, and those ears to hear, you know, these words, as they're motivating you and speaking to you, this is the guidance that's directing you to make these decisions necessary to achieve your, you know, your purpose, your Tao.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it sounds like from what you're describing here, this process of moving to a higher level of awakening, that this is not something new. That, you know, I've heard a lot of this rhetoric from ancient Chinese scripts, from things written in the Gita, from things written in a multitude of different formats from all around the world. So basically, the energy or the process you're talking about is not confined just to A Course in Miracles, but it's like the Course does what? It consolidates all of this information?
Yeah, it's only using Christian terminology and stuff. It's only a way of getting there. It's only a perspective, helping those in the culture of Christianity and everything to be able to comprehend the same purpose we have to this dimensional focus. That it's, you know, it's already written out, not just in the stars, but it's like literally the reason it was created. And we like to think that we can make some other purpose out of it, but there is a reason we came here, and that is to complete it. And we will do that completion in its entirety, regardless if we make it out of something else.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a universal curriculum. But ultimately, all paths will lead in that direction, so that the person, no matter what direction they're approaching it from, will eventually arrive at, I guess you could say, a state of redemption or a state of grace.
Yeah, I just recorded earlier today my first episode of the Tao Te Ching, which is a little bit of a different interpretation of what, as there's been hundreds of interpretations of the Tao Te Ching, and it's been set and impressed upon me with this spirit that it's talking about purpose. And when it mentions the way, you know, what our purpose of life is, and such a path like this, the mind that wants to be deceived can find deception everywhere and can find and read any book and misunderstand it and make it about specific individuals, about them being the savior and all this stuff, and projecting it out there, and this one being right and that one being wrong, and complete misunderstanding. But the one that wants to understand, the one that wants to find truth, will find it. They will. They have the mind that is choosing to see and will identify where the truth is in all things and in all words.
Right. Well, now, your definition or your, you know, dialogue about the Tao, is it a book that you're writing, or is it something that you're hoping to put into some kind of published form, or is it something that you're just doing as an audio process, and where can people find that?
Well, I haven't decided if it's actually going to be a book or not. I am just barely starting, but I use the audio, as I do audio and I talk a lot and everything. It is a form of the spirit speaking through me, where I learn and I experience what it's being taught in that way of expression. So I'm already doing the recording, which will be available at my website, should be within the day, at openandclear.com. But as far as the text, it should be available, but I really have only interpreted to this perspective the first two verses. And so the actual physical print of that is what would be in process, but I'm using the audio as a way of processing and interpreting it.
Mm-hmm. And what is the primary divergence from previous interpretations? Because I'm very familiar with the Tao. I spent a couple of years using it as, you know, my day-to-day oracle experience. How would you reformat it so that it's approaching things from a significantly different level?
Well, I mostly attempt to step out of the way and let spirit do it. So just to make sure that that's understood, that that's the very first reason and why I would be doing it this way, because I see it as a very good book in many different interpretations and just beautiful in its way, but as well as the direct interpretation of Tao is the way. And that just doesn't completely make sense in English. And it doesn't completely make sense to all of us, so we kind of have kept it in the book. You know, the Tao that can be named is not the eternal Tao. You know, and so is it the Tao that can't be interpreted or translated correctly, not the eternal Tao? No, it doesn't. There's a word for it, or there's an explanation for it that can be understood. And as the spirit that I'm dealing with is also has attempted to interpret it in my mind as even as purpose. So like eternal purpose and having a purpose to not just life, but eternal purpose and eternal perspective and why we came here. If, you know, there's beginning and end of the universe or eternal vastness, then it's undescribable. That purpose is almost impossible to answer unless you're actually living it. And as we're living life, we're finding out what that purpose is. And yet every time we try and define purpose, we pretty much cut it down and make it a tiny little idea in comparison to what it really truly is and what it's worth in reality. And so a lot of the interpretation, in which I do have, I can read it to you right now, but it has changed the word Tao into purpose.
Very cool. Well, we're going to be breaking here for another commercial in a couple of seconds, but when we come back, yeah, I would like to perhaps get a little sample of that.
Sounds good.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Soon enough, it was up to me to be his housekeeper and financial manager, too. When he moved in, I became his cook and even his nurse. But no matter what roles I play, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the roles you play. So to help, we created aarp.org/caregiving, where you can connect with experts and other caregivers. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
And we are back after that little commercial interruption there, and I'm speaking with Devin Devine, who is a practitioner of a lot of different forms of spiritual awakening and is engaged in a lot of different approaches to self-discovery, to arriving at a point where you actually know who you are in this material world. And Devin, you were going to give us a little sampling of something that you were playing with the Tao Te Ching.
Yeah, it's great to compare it to one of the other additions to it, but I don't have that right in front of me. But if you know anything about the Tao Te Ching, or read it before, you'll hear it, and it's just a beautiful way. It seems to make a little more comprehension, even though it touches that undefinable stuff, you know, like it's a little intense. So here you go. The purpose that could be defined is not your eternal purpose. The name that you could be named is not your eternal name. The undefinable is your eternal reality. Defining is the origin of perceiving separate things. Free of this discernment, you recognize the purpose. Caught in this discernment, you see only its manifestations. Yet life's purpose and its manifestations both arise from the same one idea. This source could only be defined as nothingness, nothing within nothingness, the source of everything. This is the gateway to complete understanding. That was the first verse there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very profound in that. Again, all the sacred texts give us this idea that all of the material world has come into manifestation from a realm that is non-tangible and in many ways not even imaginable when you're just stuck on the material level of consciousness. So it sounds like you're going in that direction of, revealing, again, the level of ancient wisdom here that borderlines on blasphemy by Christian standards, but in reality is just simply stating the fact of, what this is and how it came to be, this material realm.
Yeah, the truth remains to be true, regardless of how many dimensions we go through and experience. And it does all lead back to that same source. And every religion, wholeheartedly taken, it will take you to another step, another religion, and take you to another. And you're completely starting to go wherever it's guiding you, leading you to that same one source, eventually reaching the truth every single time. So we're not too concerned about this journey of being lost in separation, because truth is always going to be true and we will always go back home.
So basically nobody is ever lost in the journey that you are describing here for us, this whole sense of damnation and hellfire and revenge and punishment starts to collapse under, examination when you're looking at it through that vision of non-reality and non-duality. So as we continue to evolve here, what do you sense is going to be the next major shift for human consciousness? I mean, that's what the I Ching is all about, really, is the evolution of the journey through the material realm. So what are you perceiving as the next step that humanity is about to make?
Well, it's pretty intense as far as we are in mostly the fourth dimensional perspective of having time and this idea of perceiving our memory of our lives and identifying with the physical body. And this, most people are moving from the second emotional spiritual universe, second perspective, over to the fifth perspective of having a controlled emotional reality and energetic understanding. And so the coming to this, what is called the seventh field of this perspective, is the barrier of breaking out of the frequencies that this world can provide. So we actually are moving into what is considered that fifth and sixth dimension of our existence, where the laws that we see now and that most people live by now are completely going to be collapsing and falling apart. And it does seem, because that consciousness, that identity, is nervous about it, because it doesn't exist beyond the fourth dimension. It's the ego is the existence of only within that fourth dimensional perspective. It is, it develops ideas of fearful ideas of even this Illuminati and all these characters and losing the will of our own and all this ideas, because, as an ego, yes, you will be losing that free will aspect because you're recognizing yourself with the one, with all the universe. And so you'll recognize your will is actually the universe's will. And so it comes to a wholly different perspective. So how to explain, this collapsing of the third and fourth dimensional perspective, it will seem as if Pandora's box is opening up again, and a lot of things that once were seen as impossible will be possible again.
Yeah, it has almost overtones of Armageddon. In regards to that idea of Armageddon, do you subscribe to the idea of the end times and some big collapse of, all time and space and that sort of thing? Or do you think we're going to make it through this with a little bit of grace, a little bit of assistance from higher forces?
Yeah, that's the difference there, is like adding that at the end there, is that you're seeing the same thing, one with a definition of fear and the other one with a definition of eternal life and a perspective of eternal life. And that is, there'll be the division, and pretty much through the evolution of what we are through the fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensions, is actually the expansion of three different types of beings. And there's those who are already consciously realized beings that are entering into the seventh dimension of recognizing this is their reality. And then there's those energetic and masters of energy and everything being these angels types of things. And then there's those who still think and will still think that they're physical bodies, and kind of this idea of zombies. And that whole essence of what that whole sounds like, you know, with this idea of fear, usually is because you're identifying with a body. So the Armageddon idea is just through the fear of bodies and death and everything. But those who are already on the path, like anybody listening to this, is on their expansion of where they're choosing to be, what they're choosing to see about the world. And usually if it's anywhere in the realms of trying to see peace, trying to see love, you're already becoming this angel type experience of transcending all that is possible. And so as far as Armageddon, I wouldn't say that the end of the world is described as, you know, hellfire and damnation and all this stuff, but it's completely changing and shifting of what we believe is real, as in the capabilities, even as, you know, as far as subscribing to prophecies in that same sense, that this idea of the so-called Antichrist is considered the lawless one. And that was referring to the opening up of that, the capabilities of that Pandora's box. Once anybody sees anyone performing miracles in front of their eyes, as far as breaking laws of physics, they will also be able to have that capability. And it's entering into that sixth dimension where it literally changes the world just by having that perception of seeing someone flying literally for real life. I mean, we get through and actually believe that it's happening, you know, our perspective will be completely shifted in that sense of, you know, pain is not the same thing anymore. Being lost and stuck is not the same thing anymore. And we will all literally be transcending together this idea of what the world is. Now, and I'm talking about, you know, fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensional perspectives. I'm not talking about out of the dream, out of the world, out of all definition of dimensions altogether. That's, you know, 10 dimensions of reality. It's far more expansive.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it's simply a matter of awakening to an ancient truth. You know, I see a lot of these things of the hidden knowledge and the secret wisdom and all this stuff. From my perspective, I don't really see it as being something that we were restricted from experiencing, but it was something that we simply wanted to step away from, that we're in denial of. But in reality, all of this has always been going on. It's always been evolving, and we've always been aware of how to function within these different realms of consciousness.
Yes, I would completely agree that it was a deliberate decision to be here today, a deliberate decision to be a body again, waking up today. It's been a deliberate decision to be born in this body. It's been a deliberate decision to believe in the knowledge of good and evil. It was a deliberate decision to have physical existence at all and spiritual existence, to be a soul and all this, all deliberate by the, you know, creator of all experience, completely deliberate.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is the process that allows us to recall the fact that we have generated this illusion and then submerged ourselves in it to the degree that we're quite literally oblivious to everything that's actually going on around us?
Yeah, so I reference back to that forgiveness idea, and what most people think of forgiveness is very superficial. Ultimately, as even with this Tao Te Ching, that it says, you know, defining and having a definition of anything and looking for discernment between objects is an obsession with this knowledge of good and evil. You have to have opposition in order to experience it, in order to see that that's a car over there, this is a road. You have to be able to discern that they're different, that's a person and that's a chair, and you have to tell that they're different. And so this consciousness has this ability to discern that they're different. So when you get into this really deep idea of forgiveness, you expand through just forgiving someone for doing wrong to you into the actual reality of what you're looking at, anything that you're looking at or feeling or any touching, tasting, smelling is all from a vast percentage of resistance. Like it applies resistance in order for you to experience and perceive that world. Like the color that you see is all through the spectrum of white light being resistance in some form or another and coming to a different color. And that same understanding that in order to see something as solid or feel it as solid, it has a sense of resistance. That it's not one with the rest of the universe. It's in an experience of resistance. So through that forgiveness is being applied to every last little thing that you're possibly thinking, you naturally will fall out of the universe because it only exists through definition and through that resistance. That's kind of the idea of having a grievance or a resentment is the ability to discern between something you like and don't like, or right or wrong, and good or bad. That's why it's talked about as the knowledge of good and evil was the thing that was taken so that we could actually experience this life and death and live in this perspective.
So really, we have to abandon our adherence to this idea of sinful thoughts and sinful desires and sinful endeavors in the material world, because by the simple act of starting to see truth for truth, we recognize that it was a decision not to sin, but just to experience. And we'll be right back.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
Hello, I'm John Lithgow. Manatees are unique, among the most amazing animals on Earth, but they're endangered. We pose the greatest threat to their survival. Many manatees are killed or injured by boats or other recreational activities. I'm a writer of children's books, including one about manatees, and I believe education is the key. You can be part of the solution. Please contact Save the Manatee Club right now. Call 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
And we are back after John Lithgow saved a couple manatees there, which is really a beautiful thing. But as I was saying, that whole concept of sin, which is something that a lot of organizations, a lot of spiritual or religious groups really latch on to, by the standards that you're talking about, really doesn't exist. So can we have a sin-free existence? Is that something that's a realistic goal? Is that attainable for us?
Absolutely, as far as answering very quickly. And the Tao Te Ching, as reading that, it does get into the whole having control and people attempting to control also invest in having something to control. And it's kind of that idea, is that we need these some commandments and agreements to appear to in order to then have something to break. And it's kind of like that laws must be broken, are made to be broken, kind of an idea of rules. And it's with the whole entirety of the world, really. And so this whole idea that we have come in here to this world, we developed, how is it possible to have a body? How is it possible to think you're separate and experience individuality? And it requires that opposition. So even though really the commandments or this idea of sins and things is really more of an essence of how to stay in the world. And it's all about death. You know, it's really in the spiritual nature of the universe, none of these things are possible. Someone from the perspective of the spiritual universe cannot kill anybody else. They're in eternal existence. You can't sin against somebody else. You can't steal something from them. It's everybody owns it anyway. It's all just one thing. So it's a whole different understanding. And so that process of forgiveness helps you to see that and experience that. And you come to that experience yourself. And a lot of people, you know, not necessarily capable of doing that, for people like us are here to help and coach and guide people through this. So we can, you know, guide people through. And like I was talking about A Course in Miracles, it's very specific that A Course in Miracles is only for this fourth dimensional perspective. That it's from, we learned this limitation, you know, we got a body, we learned this learning to be limited, we went through this course of limitation, then a course of ABCs, and a course how to walk, and a course how to talk, and maybe not in that order. But and then now we're doing this course in miracles, it's being course in limitlessness, and being miraculous, and expanding from what we learned of being in a separation. But it's only in the separation and opposition idea that we can even experience it at all. And so, yes, I would conclude to the same thing to you, that what you said about it's simply about experience. I mean, we have eternity to play here. There's no rush about any of it.
So people should kind of relax behind that idea that the clock is ticking and Armageddon is about to overwhelm us on a higher level. So all of our efforts, all of our creations, everything that we get involved in, everything that we become obsessed with, what is the ultimate pinnacle of creativity? What is it that we're all ultimately driven to aspire to, even though it may be hidden from us at the time? You know, if you're a four-year-old and you're playing in mud and you're making little mud villages, There's something else underneath that desire to create. What do you believe that the truth is about the desire to create that we all seem to carry within us?
Yeah, so there's so many different ways of answering that, because each dimensional focus kind of has a different idea. But as you mentioned, creating with children's eyes and developing in that, it really is and fits you into the recognition of what is God's will, you know, and what is my will. And ultimately, in every dimensional focus, there's the question of, is it me or is it God? And it's that whole, am I separate from God and identify with only myself? Or am I one with God and identify with that aspect of God, the truth of the nature of the totality of the universe? And so to actually get into that, it's as if every dimension, you know, we get into, go lost, get confused, get separate, and then we learn, you know, again, of what we actually are. You're coming back to the same truth that you were before you started. You know, it's like this whole span thing, out and coming back in. And so everything is teaching you that. Everything is using the symbols of showing you what it is and helping you to find what it takes that you to relate with so that you'd understand. I mean, I was in junior high, and I got into superheroes, and I was trying to develop my own new superhero, and I came up with this Ohm Man, and I had no idea about this Ohm that's so popular now. and a term to express the spiritual nature of the universe and the sound of the development of it. And then it came into my understanding later that I was being told I was quite literally the Son of God. And I was using the terms and the symbols that I understood at the time to say such a thing and being taught by the guidance of that spirit within me. And it was all unraveling and revealing, you know, like everybody in everyday life.
That's very cool. And it was an unconscious process, but at the same time, it was very targeted, very directed, and it had, you know, it sounds like it had a very specific desire to express itself in a way that would have, I guess you could say, a profound outcome at some later point in your life where you realized what you were doing.
Yeah, it was a very beautiful thing when I went off in getting into energy work, and I got an Om shirt from the Krishna temple, and I was looking in the mirror, and there I was, had an Om on my shirt, and I realized it wasn't Om Man that I was, it was Om Man. And and it's very profound when I came into this understanding. It's pretty awesome. I'm like, oh, look at me, I'm Om Man. It's awesome.
That's very cool, and that's the way the universe impacts itself upon us or impresses itself upon us, is that everything, every step you're taking, every experience that you're having is preparing you for the next step. And within that concept, what do you see as the ultimate outcome of all of this? I mean, there's that idea of, you know, going to heaven, residing with God, being at peace, and a lot of people really are uncomfortable with that idea. They find that concept boring. How would you explain to them that it's really not boring? It's perhaps beyond anything they've already experienced.
Well, it's tricky because being 10 dimensions, as far as it's been explained to me, is that, you know, each one is so much more vast than the last and the previous. And most people reference to a heaven that is actually only the fifth dimension and not so much the 10th dimension. So, but then there's this idea that in the vastness of all eternity, that there really is nothing because it's so eternal and so infinite that there is no longer definition of anything. So as well as that, there it's the beginning and the end of where all of it began, of all of it started. So we're kind of going through this whole story of what that would be if it was anything, if it became anything. But we're talking billions and billions of so-called years in this whole experience. So it's as far as what's next, you know, everything you've ever wanted, that's what's next. Everything you've ever wanted. If you want suffering and pain, believe in that. Go ahead. Go to suffering and pain. It's not a big deal. You're going to come back to truth anyway. Eventually, you give it up.
That's kind of a beautiful thought. and probably, again, one of those ideas that some people are going to be in resistance to. But nonetheless, that's part of the journey. Now, if people want to get in touch with you and find out, you know, about some of the things you're doing or have discussions with you or listen to some of your podcasts, give us some resources here where people can go to check in with you.
So my main website where everything is available and links to help get find anything, including my A Course in Miracles podcast that I spent years talking about the course and everything. And every version in the Tao Te Ching is going to be available at openandclear.com. That's openandclear.com. I literally have thousands and thousands of hours available for listening, as well as my conscious spirit coaching, where I have phone service of coming to that divine realization, as well as in-person, firsthand inducing vision quests and actually going into out-of-body experiences and death experiences and experiencing it for yourself so you know exactly what you're looking for and what you're doing in life.
Very good.
So that's
and Do you have anything else upcoming that you want to share with people? Is there something that they should be keeping their eye out for as far as some next big endeavor that you're about to engage in?
Well, as far as the Tao Te Ching show is brand new, and I'd like to mention our show together. You and I have a YouTube video thing we do every week. That's enjoyable. Might not be as intense as some conversations like this one, but it is getting pretty popular and enjoyable. So I know they can find that at your website, right?
Right. Yeah, we can. People can access that at themiraclewithin.org, where all of our dialogues are archived, and the YouTube channel that we show up on, where all of these things kind of come together and bubble around and become part of a magic brew. So anyway, it looks like we're at the top of the hour. We're going to zip out of here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Devin. Much love to everyone, and we'll see you in 1 week.